Welcome back to Money Talk. This is Greg Somerville. Mike Mancini has taken off. As I mentioned, I have a guest on for this fourth segment that's a little different from what we ordinarily do, although it's definitely tied into the investment. I found out about this situation through a client of mine, and I actually met my guest initially a long, long time ago. I've been visiting with my client at the Philadelphia Eagle tailgate for many years, probably once every other year or so, and they have a fun long-term tailgate party out of the Cherry Hill, South Jersey area. And the gentleman I met is Tom Jackson, and I think I met his dad before I met him. And he's involved in the medical device area, and very exciting area. I don't know a lot about the technologies in that area. I don't know a lot about some of the challenges that they address, but I learned a little bit about it. And every time I told one of my buddies who was a doctor about it, they said, wow, if that problem could be solved, that would be a really big deal. And they were much, no offense, Tom, they were much more interested in it than me, which made me more interested in it as a result of that. And so I thought it'd be interesting to talk a little bit with Tom Jackson about his company and what they're doing, what aspect of the market they're addressing. And if anybody wants to contact him about anything, you know, as an investment, I don't even know if he's raising money. I don't know what the situation is there. This has nothing to do with RBC Wealth Management. I'm not recommending anything. But if you want to talk to Tom about any of the products that he's talking about or the financial structures or anything like that, you can feel free to listen. He's going to give out his phone number. But if you can't get that or if you don't have a pen handy, go to FortChristina.com. And I can get you that information. So Tom, talk a little bit about your background and the company that you're involved in and the specific challenges that you're addressing that we've all heard of in the news many times.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you having me on the show. To kind of give you a little background on myself and the company, I've been in the automation field for, geez, probably 25 years. Basically, we had gotten into barcoding, data collection, literally in the mid-80s. And actually, back then, it was a fledgling industry. But we did learn a lot in regards to the systems we set up. There's a new technology. Well, actually, I shouldn't say it's new. It's been around for a while, but it's actually just coming into prominence now, called RFID. And we're actually using this technology to propagate a lot of the applications that are in healthcare. As you know, healthcare is going through a lot of changes right now, and there's a lot of problems associated with quality of patient care and patient safety. And so what we're trying to do with these products is actually address the liability aspect and the quality of patient care through a variety of different entities that we're coming out with.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, the first one is called SantaTrack, where, you know, it's kind of a well-kept secret that a big problem in hospitals in regards to what's called HAI or HAC events. Basically, that acronym is hospital-acquired infections, or they actually just renamed it. It's now hospital-acquired condition, which is basically problems that happen while you're being attended to in the hospital, i.e. infections, particular things left in the body during surgery, such as surgical sponges, instruments. So anyway, we've actually developed a system which will actually monitor hand hygiene. And really what our goal is to change behavior in the hospital. Typically, there's about a 30% hand hygiene rate. And again, that's averages. Some hospitals do a lot better job. Some hospitals do a worse job. But that's how a lot of these infections are actually transmitted that cause the HAI. And again, huge readmittance rate. In fact, in the state of Pennsylvania, last study we had was a couple of years ago, there was a 30% readmission rate, okay, based on HAI in Pennsylvania. So if that, you equate that to dollars.
Does that really mean one out of three patients who gets treated goes back in the hospital because of something that happened to them at the hospital?
Pretty close. We're talking 3 out of 10. You're exactly right. 30%.
That's insane. That number is so much higher than I would have imagined it. But
I was the same way. In fact, the first time I read the article, and we have a marketing guy that's second to none. I mean, he's been in the industry for 25 years just doing marketing. And he sent me this article. I had to read it twice because I didn't believe it. I said, there's no way 3 in 10 can be going back to hospitals.
Right.
Now, if you look at the liability associated with it, right now hospitals are getting dinged three different ways, you know, with new healthcare edicts. Firstly, the reimbursement rate's going down. Okay, and again, that's almost a nationwide occurrence. Basically, this new healthcare agenda has to be funded, and the way that they're funding it on the front end is your reimbursement rate. Secondly, they're penalizing you if you don't comply or have high HAI rates or high HAC rates, along with a lot of other things. So you'll see a lot of these penalties coming down. I'll give you another instance. State of Pennsylvania last year was fined over $1 billion, you know, combined through all the hospitals, for nonconformance and penalties associated with a lot of these practices.
Hey, Tom, I want to make sure that you get to your whole story and say briefly what Sanitrack is, but the one that I think spurred the interest of the surgeons that I knew was the sponge situation. So can you? I want to make sure you don't leave that on the table since this is the last segment. So hit the Sanitrack and then the what I think is the catchiest title I've ever heard, No Sponge Left Behind.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't mean to steal your thunder, but that...
No, not at all. I'll see if I can go through them fairly quickly. Your Sanitrack unit is actually a unit that you put on the wall, just like a hand hygiene unit, you know, that dispenses the liquid. Big advantage we have is you can use your existing infrastructure. Take it off the wall, you actually slide it into our unit. It will now actually, through RFID, which is radio frequency identification, you're going to wear a little badge on your lanyard or on your lapel. You walk in the door, basically you now are known through the database, through wireless communications, that you are in the room. Walk up to the sanitizer, your time and date stamped, you know that you're actually approaching the sanitizer, and we have sensors in the unit, so you know that you actually did sanitize.
So when the litigation comes, you can prove you washed up the way you're supposed to wash up.
Exactly. Yeah, this is tied directly to the hospital worker or visitor or patient, depending on how far you want to go. So anyway, we have a back-end database that actually records all this, completely seamless, passive identification, no batteries in the cards. So anyway, you know, they'll go through the regular workflow functions exactly the way they do it right now. Okay. Second product, the SpongeTrack. Basically, we're using RFID married to a surgical sponge, so if anything is left in the body, we can actually detect it. Okay, now, again, we have a lot more tied to this, and again, we try to follow typical workflow procedures. So they won't really have to do anything different than they do right now. Typically, you use what's called a kick bucket. And basically, it's a stainless steel bucket that typically sponges are thrown into. Our bucket pretty much follows the form factor of that particular bucket. Everything is identified through radio frequency ID on the front end count, during the operation, and after the count. Operating rooms use count sheets. Everything is done manually. We actually have electronic count sheets that you're actually filling out now to get rid of a lot of the redundant processes that they're using in the operating room to transfer this data. So it's a seamless system. We try to actually implement these the same way that the hospital is presently using applications. So really, there's not a big learning curve. But at the same time, you know, it goes directly to the quality of patient care and the workflow procedures, so it will save you money.
Well, I mean, just from the litigation standpoint, the numbers that you've talked about, and again, I don't think we have time to go into them. We hear the anecdotal things about, oh, the surgeon left a sponge in there, and you know, it's always painted as something that's pretty careless. But when you showed me what was going on, and when a surgeon who actually does this stuff explained to me, it's not some lame brain surgeon leaving a sponge behind. It's a very complicated system, and it's something that is protected against in a very manual like way, and you're automating in a way that's almost unfathomable. Just to refresh people, I'm speaking with Tom Jackson from an interesting medical company. What's the name of the company, Tom?
Yeah, it's Technology Solutions.
Technology Solutions. It's not a public company. It's in its earlier stages. If anybody wants to touch base with Tom, Tom, why don't you give out the phone number, and then I'm also going to tell people if they want to get to you through our website, just contact me, and I can give you your information to them.
Yeah, sure. We're a Maryland-based company. We do have offices up and down the East Coast. But anyway, it's 443-542-5546.
And if you didn't have a pen handy and you want to go to fortchristina.com, we can get you in contact with Tom. I've shared a lot of this information with a number of surgeons that I know, some other very high-level people in the healthcare area, and everybody's intrigued by it. And, you know, it's always hard to figure out what's going to work and what's not going to work. But certainly addressing real problems that are out there and have some solutions that look really interesting to me. So, you know, if anybody wants to contact Tom, whether it be from the supply side or anything else, just give me an email, fortchristina.com, and you can talk to him about No Sponge Left Behind and the rest of the products there. Thanks again, Tom. Appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Greg.
You got it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on Money Talk, and we'll be back next week.